Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Working Experience. It's story time, or what we would like to call here at The Working Experience, shorts or shorties, where we discuss topics, thoughts, very, very short, brief interludes into The Working Experience, narrated by either myself or Maddie Kay. Enjoy.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Man, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
You need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
We're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, this is Maddie Kay with the Working Experience Podcast, just coming at you with another little shorty short here, just to kind of fill in the gaps, maybe give you a few minutes of, I don't know if I'd call it entertainment, but anyway, this is, this one's titled, No One Will Be Friends With Me. Names have been changed, but these stories are... They are true, depressingly and somewhat hilariously true. I'll start with a quote. I'm sure most of you have seen the movie Silence of the Lambs. Maybe some of you read the book by Thomas Harris. I've always found him to be a very interesting kind of social philosopher. Seems like a very learned man. He had this great quote, "Nothing makes us more vulnerable than loneliness except greed." You know, people who are lonely, and there's a lot of lonely people out there. They are very susceptible to people who would use that against them, con them out of money and things like that. So my friend Jim Adams, he's a technical recruiter in Manhattan. And his job is to place people into jobs. So he has clients who are companies, and they're looking for people. And then he has, he's kind of a middleman, I guess you would say. Not in a derogatory way, but he, you know, he has resumes for people who are good at, or computers is their thing. So he, being a technical recruiter... Let's say company Y needs their payroll system revamped. They want to put somebody on contract for 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, to do that. Then Jim, you know, matches the two together, matches the employee with the company. And or this could be for longer term employment. A lot of times these contracts are, you know, a bit of a trial run for somebody. If they work out, there could be a permanent job or a longer-term contract in place for them. And Jim's a great guy. He really likes his work. He likes being able to put people where they are needed and where they're going to be happy. But, of course, he's dealing with people who are always going to be people, and they are always going to be unpredictable and bring their own baggage, and just because they are really good at computers or finance doesn't mean that they are great in other areas, particularly interpersonal areas, dealing with people on a sort of social basis, I guess you would say. So he recently placed a woman, who I'll call Mary, with a Texas-based financial firm, which was opening a branch in New York, and they needed a computer tech to set up their online accounting and payroll systems. Mary had submitted a resume to Jim's firm, and Jim thought she would be a good fit. She had the right skill set and experience in related jobs, so she was asked to come in for an interview. So Jim will, you know, get these resumes from people. He'll bring them in. He'll interview them, sort of see what their deal is. And then, you know, he has his list of clients who are like, okay, we need a person to come in and reprogram whatever it is, and he'll place someone or set up something like, you know, accounting, payroll, and he'll play someone like Mary, who has the right skill set. So, you know, he said Mary didn't have a really engaging personality. I mean, she's a tech person. And, you know, there's a certain stereotype with tech people that, you know, they're very good at computers. That's what they're asked to do. They're not salespeople. So, you know, you understand. Jim understands that. You know, different people have different personalities for different jobs. She tended not to look a person in the eye and would give rather curt answers instead of trying to be friendly. You know, he said she wasn't going to win a Miss Congeniality award, but that's the way a lot of tech people are. The Texas people wanted her for her computer skills, not her conversational skills. It was going to be a 6-month contract with an option for an extension after the 6 months. And, you know, Jim figured maybe Mary would come out of her shell by then. And, you know, she was just kind of shy or whatever it was. But the bottom line was she had the tools to get done what the company wanted done. And that was all Jim really needed to know. And that was what the company needed to know. However, things have a way of not being that simple when you're dealing with people. 2 days after Mary started, Jim received a call from her. It sounded like she had been crying. Jim thought maybe a family member had died and she had to take time off for the funeral, or that she had been mistreated in some way at her new job, been the target of harassment or something. I mean, things like that had happened. You know, they do happen. And, you know, Jim has to play a role in dealing with that because he would be the person who had placed her there. Or sometimes something odd just happens and, you know, Jim might get a call from the company saying, geez, this person's a flake, or the person just didn't show up, or, you know, that's happened. Again, people do strange things. So Jim asked her what was wrong, and her response was, no one will be friends with me. And Jim's response was something along the lines of, excuse me? I have no idea how a person is supposed to respond to that. That is literally something a child would say to mommy and daddy after his or her first day of kindergarten. And they would probably tell her pretty much the same thing Jim told Mary. Jim is a consummate professional and a kind person. So if it was me in the situation, I would have no idea what to say to her. I mean, she'd been at the job for 2 days and she was calling Jim and saying this. And Jim's a better person than I, because I don't know if I would have been able to keep from laughing because it's so absurd. So he told her, it's only been 2 days. It takes time to get to know people. It takes time for them to get to know you. So just do your work and everything will be fine. Again, which is something you would say to a second grader who's in a new school, or maybe even a seventh grader. You know, like, hey, just give it time. You know, it's tough, new environment, and you know, people don't really know you. And I mean, 2 days. She'd been there for, you know, 16 hours total between the 2 days of work, maybe 20. And, you know, no one will be friends with me. And Mary was in her 30s. She was like in her mid 30s. She was not a 23-year-old just out of college. Even then, it would have been strange, but you could kind of see it. You know, she's had worked at other places. But she said, no one will be friends with me. About 2 weeks later, she was fired. Apparently, she had not taken Jim's advice and was not getting her work done. And she had sort of latched on to another woman in the office who was not really down with this and had been pestering her to the point where the woman actually complained to her manager. So apparently Mary, like, she wanted to go out for drinks and stuff like that with people after work. Like, she wanted to hang out. I don't know, like, go out on the weekends. This is after 2 days. And, you know, very naturally, like, you don't get to know somebody that well in two. I mean, I don't think where, you know, you're like, hey, let's go hang out. Plus, people have lives. They probably have families. They have kids they have to get home to. They're not going to be hanging out on a Tuesday or Wednesday night having drinks, you know. And again, Mary's like in her mid-30s. Not to say you can't go out for a drink after work, but, you know, to try to, like, sort of force the issue with people and have it affect your job is, I mean, this sounds a little psychotic. So they had to say goodbye to Mary. And they didn't blame Jim. I mean, this was not something Jim could screen for. She had the right skills. Jim had actually called them, like, at one point to ask, you know, how is she doing? And it, this was maybe, like, 2 days after she had called him crying. And they said she was fine. You know, got her work done. She was good. This was before she started to tip over the edge and pester this woman and all that. So it wasn't a question of her getting the work done or being smart enough to do it. She was obviously, and this was rather, I mean, to me, complicated work. And it's just amazing how people will do things that have the opposite effect for what they want. Like, Mary wanted a job and she wanted friends, but her behavior resulted in her getting neither. So if she had just gone to her job and done her work and, you know, after like maybe a month or two, people get to know her and invite her out or whatever, you know, or some places they don't. I mean, you know, different work, different offices have different cultures, you know. But I think if she had just done her job and been friendly and helpful to her coworkers, everything would have worked out fine. And I got to think, you know, that type of behavior is deliberate, on, at least on a subconscious level. Like, she wants to get fired. She wants to be alone. Some people have that weird pathology where they're, I mean, they have to know what they're doing is, like, driving other people away and driving away opportunities. It seems like there are some people who just don't want to be happy. And so they make decisions where they actually, I guess, they do get what they want on a subconscious level. Like, they do get fired, and they do have people alienate and reject them because they can then go home to their apartment and sulk alone, which I guess is what they really want. And, you know, it's amazing where, you know, these companies are all, they need all these different personalities to come together and get certain things done, but you're dealing with people's loneliness and their anxiety, and which hampers them from performing that job. And, you know, you can be sympathetic up to a point, but, you know, for a company who hires Mary to set up the accounts and the payroll, and that doesn't get done because she has her crazy thing going on in her head, it's got to be just kind of frustrating. I would say probably, you know, just a certain guidelines. Like, you got to respect other people's boundaries. That you have to understand that, you know, people are there to do a job. Plus, they have their life outside of the office, which doesn't include you, their family, their children, you know, whatever. Having friends at work is great. You know, but, and like sort of having a best friend at work, I suppose, but, you know, it's also like that can seem clicky and cliquish, and it can turn into high school, which is sort of like Mary. I don't know, maybe she was the outcast in high school and she just keeps playing that role over and over to kind of a psychotic degree. You know, also what you say to friends, I mean, you know, they, again, this stuff is high school-ish, but it tends not to end. Like, you say something to somebody when you're out at a bar and you've had a few drinks and you don't know who that's going to get repeated to, and that can cause you some problems. And I guess the last thing I'll note is that, like, only hanging out with people from work can just be really unhealthy. Like, you got to get away from that atmosphere. And talking about the, because, you know, when you're with coworkers, you can tend to relentlessly talk about the job, talk about things you don't like about it. You know, even if you're just doing some healthy venting about your manager, again, like, it's just a lot of negativity and, you don't know who that stuff is going to get back to. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it seems like unless you really, really trust somebody on a different level, you always have to be kind of on your guard with people that you work with, because certain people are not above using friendship to their advantage when they can. So try not to be like Mary. Just go do your job, let things evolve naturally, and have some healthy interests of your own on the outside. Okay, thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and we'll be back at you real soon. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.